shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
There have been concerns raised by some of the competitors before.
I was terrified. I left work crying. Terrified. Where's
he also baby? Remarked that the most optimistic climate models for the second half of the
Roger, a moment ago I mentioned what Teddy Roosevelt said.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
He's stupid.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we take you through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland looking glass of news, of issues, of opinion. We turn that whole bloody thing on its head, man, because somebody got to do it. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world famous Phil Hendry show. Coming up, we have Jeff Dowder, who was a member of the Out of Iraq War group. That's next hour. And Mr. Dowder is going to be talking about Joe Biden's comments that that the Iraq War will be one, or Iraq will be one of the greatest achievements of the Obama administration. These are perception being everything. These are the comments that the vice president has been prone to make in the past that are leave people incredulous. Now, there might be big fans of Joe Biden who will say, for instance, oh, I know what he was talking about. See, you don't understand. I know you know what he's talking about, and I know that he probably knows what he's talking about, and I think I sort of understand what it is he means. But you understand that with perception being everything and communication being the new art, man, I mean, you can talk about the medical skills, mathematics, scientific, when it comes to what I suppose the liberal arts, communication, that's where it's at. And to say that Iraq, with a big, stupid, phony chopper look on his face and the hair plugs, the greatest achievement, somebody's got to smack a little bit of sense into him. I say that figuratively. All right, anyway.
You're talking about Bill up the on a vice president.
I said figuratively, man. I don't want to belt anybody.
Because you did the Secret Service.
I understand that, man. What do you think? That's news?
Well, you said you'd hit him.
No, I did not, bud. When I said somebody ought to smack some sense into him, it's a figurative thing that I'm saying. Get out of here, will you? What's that?
My phone.
Your phone? That's a freaking Campbell's soup can.
Yeah, it's a new design.
Let me see that.
Smartphone.
It's a smartphone, huh? How come?
I'm using dental floss instead. Get out of here with that dental floss.
Used to be a string. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry show. And one of the other things that it's a marvelous time that we're living in, because what we're seeing here, there's been an awful lot of discussion over the last, I'd say, 8, 9, 10 years from people who say, well, this is exactly what's happening and we have to do, must do, can do, have to do. And I know that we live in a time where the communication's instantaneous. And so people will take advantage of it and say, hey, you know, I'm going to write a blog. The earth is doomed. I'm going to write a blog. Bush is the worst president we ever had. Remember when people were saying that? There may be some people that still believe that. But anybody that would say that has no real knowledge of history. They have no real knowledge of anything, to be perfectly honest with you. But they do have knowledge of hyperbole, and they do have knowledge of how to manipulate opinion by just, as Joseph Goebbels said, tell a big enough lie often enough and people will believe it. Now comes climate review, climate study getting a review because of the global warming / climate change controversy having to do with East Anglia University. Snowstorms in Washington, up and down the East Coast, and yet the snow is melting in Vancouver and we may not be able to have the downhill. And a poor young man lost his life today in Vancouver as he was training for the luge event, and I can only imagine that if it had anything to do with melting snow or ice, the UK's University of East Anglia, which was the repository, folks, of a great deal of climate research data, and it was this repository that had emails hacked from it or drawn from it illegally, disseminated globally. And we had indications from those emails that the information that was acquired, the data that the individuals there at East Anglia were using, some of it was flimsy, some of it was compromised, some of it was out-and-out asinine. Some of it based not on any other scientific data or any other scientific research, but anecdotal stories from mountain climbing magazines. I consider myself to be a pretty intelligent guy, but I have yet to hear anybody from the global warming advocacy group say, tell you what we'll do. We're going to spell it out real plain. We'll debate anybody you have to debate. We will talk about it with anybody. We will go door to door. We will fan out across the 50 states and to every country in the world. We will do anything. We'll get on our knees. We'll beg. We'll plead anything to get you to understand. They have not only not done that, but they have avoided. Now, I know they've had global warming concerts, man. I mean, they had, you know, U2. I mean, I've seen a lot of really cool stuff like that, but not one of these cats has gone out there and said anything about, well, here it is. Here's the science. You know, if you really need that, Phil, you know, here, yeah, I sort of do. I mean, do you think you're qualified? Yeah, well, maybe not. Anyway, the UK's University of East Anglia, if you asked that, if any of us asked that, basically what they're saying is, what are you, some kind of a retard? What do you mean, man, you need it debated or explained? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? What are you, some kind of a, you know what I mean? Anyway, the UK's University of East Anglia said it will launch an independent review of the science published by its scandal-hit climatic research unit and attempt to restore its credibility after the disclosure of thousands of its emails last year raised questions about the group's climate change research. The move represents the latest damage control measures taken by a key player in the academic effort to document the effects of global warming, whose reputation has taken a beating in recent weeks. More than 1,000 private emails, 3,000 other documents that were allegedly hacked from the university's website and leaked online late last year appear to show CRU scientists trying to block access to data and squelch the views of climate change skeptics. And you got to ask yourself, who was leading this effort to hack all of this stuff? Was it a scientist who recognized that this had been going on and finally couldn't take it anymore and said, I'm going to hack into the computer system and release these? Was it somebody who had recently come on board and said, wait a minute, I thought you guys were for real. Look at this crap. Was it a janitor? Was it a cleaning woman? Was it a
giant douche nozzle?
What was it? So nonetheless, the review announced on Thursday will reappraise the CRU's scientific conclusions. The Russell Review is specifically focused on the email hacking. Blah, 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 blah. The university's independent review was broadly welcomed, but there was some criticism that the institution's taken more than 2 months to act, a sign of the hit the climate research group's credibility has taken. And I got to tell you something else. And I don't know what these guys are smoking or what they're shooting or what, you know, who they're buying their rock. Maybe it ain't even a rock, man. Maybe you think it's a rock. Maybe it's just congealed fat that you found on the sidewalk from a pizza box. But whatever it is that you are ingesting to try to, you know, numb the pain of the world, take a look at a recent survey. Take a look at a cross-section of surveys of just opinion, because this is an instance where opinion counts, you know. Public opinion polls when it comes to the issues of the day, for my money, don't mean anything. I wouldn't pay any more attention to them than I would, I don't know, you know, a leaf falling from a tree. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's got nothing to do with whether something is right or wrong. It doesn't have anything to do with, for instance, healthcare debate, the need for healthcare. Public opinion in this country doesn't matter to me. Because I don't think people are informed enough. I think that it's been hijacked by dumbasses, that the entire debate. So, but let's take climate change, because nothing I think relies more on public opinion than that, because they haven't made their case. They just haven't. They thought they did. Take a look at it. People are split right down the middle. As a matter of fact, people are now tending more not to believe it than before. You want to know why? Because of the arrogant way that the people that propose that climate change is man-made have conducted themselves. Arrogant. You know, like the old line from Bill Murray from Ghostbusters, don't screw with me, I'm a scientist, like Dr. Ron Tarner, you know, hey, go watch the movie 2012, man, that'll explain enough to you. You know, just trust us. That's why people don't trust you, because you're saying trust us. And now you got this mess, man. By the way, and I know that global warming is really not what it's about. It's global climate change. But you guys should have said that before, because now everybody's making fun of you with this global warming thing. They're saying, ha, 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 global warming. Well, wait a minute. It's global climate change. Too late. Snow in all 50 states? New storm could make that true. Guess what? It is true. We've had snow in all 50 states except for one, Hawaii.
Why didn't we have snow in Hawaii? They ought to have it.
Do you want to know something, bud? There has been snow in Hawaii.
Bull crap, man. Are you kidding me?
There has been snow in Hawaii on that volcano on the Big Island. They've had snow.
Well, I think there ought to be. Otherwise, the story doesn't make no sense.
Well, yeah, it does make sense. 49 out of 50 states. 49 out of 50 states, Jack, there's been snow. All right, in this flashback to October 29th, 2007, we're going to listen now to Barbara Boxer. She's the senator here from the state of California, and she'll probably get reelected, but she has been so marginalized, her and Pelosi and the rest of those, that chump change. I don't know what she's going to be doing for a living. I'll be collecting a check, walking in, reading memos, putting her feet up on her desk, saying, I'd like to weigh in. Yeah, thanks a lot, Barbara. You know, we don't need your opinion. Anyway, here is Barbara Boxer telling the Senate in 2007 of a report from a scientist about how global warming is going to halt snowfall.
He also remarked that the most optimistic climate models for the second half of this century suggest that 30 to 70% of the snowpack will disappear. Now, no wonder we have people visiting our offices who are just already hurting from the recreation industry in this nation.
What?
They see what's happening. They see the handwriting on the wall.
All right. On ABC News. Wait a minute. Here's more from her. Here is more from her in 2007. The second half of the century, man, and they're already coming in. Boy, we're screwed now. I can't get any snowfall. I can't get any powder. I got to close the lifts down. We just got 6 feet. I got to go. Anyway, here she is.
The potential consequences will be devastating for our families in the future and for the world. Now, we're seeing the early warning signs. People can come down to this floor and say whatever they want. We've seen melting of snow. We have seen melting of permafrost. Increased temperatures, warming of lakes, rivers, oceans, changes in the seasons.
I'm telling you, one of the worst things you guys did in the global warming, climate change advocacy part of things, one of the worst things you guys did was to turn your message over to idiots like this. You needed to get the word out, maybe. First of all, you had to know what it was you were talking about, then get the word into the right hands of individuals that could communicate it. You just butchered this. I mean, you couldn't have done worse. If you'd been working for Obama as part of his transition team, man, you got, I don't know who is more useless, you cats or Rahm Emanuel and the crew. All right, we'll be coming back here at 877-876-PHIL. Anyway, snow experts are looking through their records to see if there's ever been snow hitting all 50 states at once in the past, but it may be days before they figure that out. They suspect it last happened in 1977. I know I was in Florida. It snowed in Florida in 1977. When I got back to L.A. in around 1979, it was snowing right on the outskirts of Los Angeles. All right, we'll be back. John Meyer, the mayor of John, is now being criticized by gay groups. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Something that I'm doing something I used to make fun of. I used to have people howling, and I'm actually doing it now. I'm chewing on a piece of steak because I'm eating my dinner late, and forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't mean to. I thought I'd have the steak eaten and swallowed, but I'm watching scenes of starving people in Haiti. So
now, isn't that lovely?
Yes. So I apologize, but I am going to talk about Haiti, and I want to say this. And then we'll get into some of the other stories that we've got for you, one of which is John Mayer crying and sniveling about saying that he's got a racist you-know-what, a racist penis, but other than that, he's got a ghetto pass. John, I tell you what, man, do yourself a favor. And you started, the first step is you stop twittering. You're a musician. You're a very unique guy because most musicians play it real close to the vest. They're very shy. They're very introverted. They create their songs. They go on stage. They go home. And they don't want to know from mass media, right? Fred Durst tweets, I'm trying to think of who else. John Mayer tweets, Fred Durst tweet. Fred Durst had got nothing interesting to say. I mean, Fred Durst is a normal guy. I mean, a cat's talking about his kids. He talks about, you know, the barbecue. Talking about his family. But John Mayer needs to be, he wants to be a talk show host. Well, you ain't that, baby. A great musician, though. So anyway, he's been on stage sniveling and whining about it, and everybody loves him, and or maybe they don't. And this is day two of the John Mayer. Look at all. Forget about it, man. Just make some music and get off of Twitter. Get off of Facebook. Get and spend a few days not getting off on anything else. Just write some songs and get out there and refocus on your music and quit writing that Seal crap.
No kidding.
I thought you were a blues man. You know, the only thing blues about you is...
You blew it!
Yeah, that's right. Start writing some blues. If that's what you do, write it. I don't want to listen anymore to this Savage Garden bullcrap. I don't know what this stuff is that you make, man. Nobody's going to listen to that except, well, you know, 40-year-old women going on 25 and, all right. So, geez, I really...
You're making fun of John Mayer. He's a nice guy.
I know he's a nice guy. I'm sorry, John. So anyway, what I really wanted to tell you, this reporting from Haiti. Now, two things you got to understand about Haiti... And really any country in the world that the United States has anything to do with. The United States of America, in asserting itself worldwide, in asserting this idea of free enterprise, American business, the individual freedoms and loves, and the great life that we have, we've gone a lot of places, and we've done a lot of things, and we've done a lot of those things not quite the way you should maybe sometimes. And we're talking going back 200 years. I mean, the history of this country in Hawaii with the Dole Pineapple, United Fruit Company in Nicaragua. Yeah, we've screwed around. Haiti, no different. But let me tell you something. Because the day has now arrived, and I don't know whether Americans are willing to do this. I know that I am. Two things. I live in a great country. And I'm not embarrassed to say that. And number two, I'm also not embarrassed to say what toilet bowls other countries are. Yeah, well, Phil, you know, Haiti, if America... Yeah, I get it. I get it about America, you know. And we have taken some very aggressive steps over the years to correct the wrongs that have been that committed by other U.S. administrations, other American business people, going back decades, centuries. That's what happens with countries, folks. And I'll tell you something else. If you think we're unique, take a good, long, hard look and then a good, long, hard sniff of the British Empire. If you want to start talking about America running amok around the world. And once you get done with the British Empire, the French, oh, they're real interesting. And the Germans. In fact, take a look at the colonial powers back when we were nothing more than a couple of teepees and a guy in a coonskin cap. Who was it? The Netherlands. The Portuguese, boy, the Portuguese, they really, are they beautiful? They sit there on that little, you know, that little country there next to Spain, and I don't know what the hell they do, sit around with a sombrero all day long and play the ukulele. Those bastards were the first ones to start shipping slaves out of Africa. Boy, are you talking about a country that got away with murder? And now, oh, it's Portugal, woohoo! They got a great vineyard over there. So... You talk about America and what we've done. We've done a lot. But here's something else. This country's the best thing there is. So what do you want to do? Do you want to tear her down or do you want to tell her how to do things better? Haiti is a disgrace because the individuals that run that country are corrupt. Their police are badly trained and corrupt. Their infrastructure doesn't exist. The money has been stolen and used for other things. The entire way they operate things and the entire way that they go about administering a country is an absolute disgrace. And probably everybody in the Haitian government should be arrested and put on trial for some crime. I guarantee you there's got to be something, some felony every single one of them's committed. But every night, and Newsweek magazine has a great article, Newsweek magazine has basically said... That while we're grateful that we've got Cooper Anderson or Anderson Cooper or whatever the hell his name is, I forget. I mean, this is, I haven't thought of him in weeks. We're grateful that he's doing reporting from Haiti. It sucks. Because he hasn't challenged anybody from the government. he hasn't taken on the big story of really what's wrong there, and that is the money that the American people and other people have raised for that country has been stolen. He hasn't asked really and found out really where all of the supplies, all of the things that are needed by the Haitian people are. He's talked about the little kid that he adopted. He's standing there with Sanjay Gupta with the big crocodile tears in his eyes. This guy is doing nothing. And I wonder how long CNN's going to be able to get away with this guy's hack crap show. Thank you. Lawrence O'Donnell. Now, there's a guy I like. Coming up next,
Phil Hendry.
He's okay. I'm kidding.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, groundbreaking, world-famous, all that stuff. And coming up at, you know...
Yeah, we're all of that and more.
For sure. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we have Jeff Dowder, a former member, might still be a member of, I don't know if the group still exists, U.S. out of Iraq, an anti-war group that Mr. Dowder says feels what Joe Biden said about Obama making Iraq one of his greatest achievements, that is not extreme at all. They want President Obama to get the credit, not President Bush, President Obama to get the credit for Iraq. We're going to talk to Mr. Dowder coming up at the top of the hour. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL. If you'd like to watch our show as well as listen to it, you can go to philhendryshow.com. And if you go over to that website, we have a, in fact, I've just been told, thank God.
You finally get on the phone with you.
Yeah, I thank God. Next week, the redesign will be in place. Now, our redesign will be separate from our old site. We're going to maintain our old audio files there. But nonetheless, you'll understand what I'm saying. If you get a subscription to our website, you'll have our live streaming audio every night, live streaming video every night, which people can look at right now. In fact, if you went and subscribed right now, boom, 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 hit the button, there I am. Now, you also get a download of our radio show each and every day, a five-day archive of our video. You have a, 15, 20-year archive of material from the Phil Hendry Show. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. So visit us there. You'll be glad you did. All right. Lawrence O'Donnell, this guy used to be a Senate aide of some kind. Then he was a producer on West Wing. And then, I don't know, they caught him in a bathroom with George Michael. And then finally, I'm kidding about that.
That guy's going to sue you.
I'm kidding, all right? Anyway, Lawrence O'Donnell now is on MSNBC. And he's not particularly informed. He is, for instance, Rachel Maddow is pretty good, really sharp. She's very well informed. Chris Matthews sort of, you know, there's too much saliva in his mouth, and he says a lot of things about his sex organs, but he's got a fairly decent style. Keith Olbermann, very polished and actually funny until he talks about Bush, and then his brain injury kicks in. You know, the war wound starts, and his eyes start to move closer together, and you begin to think that things, you know, you wouldn't be safe being in that studio. But they've all got something interesting to offer. Joe Scarborough, who is the resident conservative there. Thank God he's got that Mika, whatever the hell her name is.
Yeah, she's pretty hot, too.
Well, she's good, and so is Willie Geist. So he's got a crew around him that make him look... Actually, they can't make him look any better. So, but nonetheless, it's a pretty good show to watch before you get over to Fox and Friends or whatever you want to do. But Lawrence O'Donnell is a guy who, like a lot of these people who are desperate to get a show on MSNBC, he's got to find a way to get some attention. So what did he do? He got into a huge fight with a former speechwriter for President Bush, Mark Thiessen. Fireworks erupted on the set of Morning Joe on Friday after MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell took umbrage with former Bush speechwriter Mark Thiessen's claim that President Obama's inviting a domestic terrorist attack. Things started off rocky after Thiessen, in the process of justifying the coercive counterterrorism techniques used under the Bush administration and condemning Obama for eliminating the CIA's interrogation program, insisted that his former boss was required to essentially start from scratch, all of which is true. President Obama, good man, but he's having a very difficult time justifying the things that he's put into place to appease his progressive base. He's having a very difficult time justifying eliminating the tribunals. He's having, quite frankly, a very difficult time justifying the Mirandizing of the underwear bomber, because there should have been a protocol in place to deal with individuals like that. Don't just turn them over to the coppers so they can Mirandize them. Excuse me, we got a guy here trying to blow his underwear up. Do you think maybe let's turn him over to national security? There was no protocol in place for that. Hey, you know what? If it doesn't sound fair, man, Bush was starting from scratch, too. Everybody thought that guy should have been right up. He should have been up to speed the day after he took office. Why, look, and not only that, the anthrax. And not only that, oh, yeah, in the 8 months that Bush was president, the whole damn thing came down. And if you believe that, oh, my God, have I got a beautiful piece of beachfront property in Haiti to sell you. All you got to do is bulldoze the bodies out of the way. So anyway, here it is. We'll play this for you, and we'll give you a little more overview of Lawrence O'Donnell and what makes him tick, which it shouldn't be all that difficult, shouldn't take very long. Here is MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell going nuclear on former, I should say nuclear, et cetera. Anyway, going nuclear on former George W. Bush speechwriter Mark Thiessen.
You, as a former speechwriter in the White House, you took an oath of office when you took that job that you might or might not remember. You actually publish a book that says that the President of the United States, on its title, the president is inviting the next attack. What? Isn't it true that the president you worked for invited the first attack having no idea what was going on with Al-Qaeda? You just admitted that when you were hit on 9/11, we didn't know who hit us. You were told who was going to hit you before we were hit on 9/11. Your administration invited the first attack for which you should live in shame.
Good Lord. Good Lord. That's a guy who is still living on all of that early Iraq War, early 9/11 propaganda that they're still milking. They're still really trying to work that stuff. You know that they had the information and they could have come down the hall and he didn't, you know. The fact that they have tried to attribute time and again blame to the Bush administration for this, and at the same time not recognize the historical context of what it was the Clinton administration did, Daddy Bush, Reagan. These bastards are beyond stupid. The fact that they are believed and held up on high, like a Lawrence O'Donnell, tells you just how dumb the viewership of that network is. However, I digress. O'Donnell became so disruptive that Joe Scarborough had to take the show to a break. This unprofessional slime ball. Oh, never mind. Here he is. He's a nice guy.
Lawrence, go. Listen, here's the record. When the Obama administration's approach, this law enforcement first approach, was working, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, the bombing of the USS Cole, the bombing of embassies in Karachi, and the 9/11 attacks. After the CIA,
we're going to break right now. We'll be right back, and I'm going to be interviewing Mark by myself. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God. Was he serious? Well, after joking that O'Donnell didn't take his meds this morning, in the second segment of the interview, Scarborough allows O'Donnell to ask one last question.
Mark, I'm wondering about your own personal experience with torture. I know you grew up in the richest zip code in America in the Upper East Side. You went to the only boarding school in Connecticut that I know of that has a golf course, and then you went to Vassar, and of course, like all the torture mongers in the White House, the Cheney family included, you never served a day in the military. Never considered
that. What does that prove, Lawrence?
Well, I'm wondering, with that background, what is it that gives you an expertise on torture? What makes you love it so much?
First of all, one, it's not torture. Second of all, I had a security clearance. I was read into the CIA program. When President Bush wrote his speech and did a speech in September 2006 to reveal this program, I was taken into a secure room in the National Security Council. I was given access to all of the intelligence this program produced, and I actually met with the actual interrogators who interviewed Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and got the information to stop attacks.
Well, Lawrence O'Donnell will probably maintain his gig over there at MSNBC. I don't know, maybe. And excuse me, because I'm still eating.
What are you doing here? I told you.
I'm hungry, okay? But I will tell you this much. O'Donnell is a guy that MSNBC, he's very typical of what they get over there in terms of the amateurs. Now, like I said, they got pros. But when it comes to the wannabes and the first-timers, they're cats like this. They rely on that old school. I mean, I'm telling you, that early 9/11, early Iraq war, early Afghan war argument having to do with torture monger, torture. Dude, you got to get off the torture kick, man. I mean, first of all, O'Donnell, you don't know half of what goes on when it comes to security and when it comes to obtaining information. Then the argument about how if you haven't served in the military, you have no right to talk about anything or have an opinion about anything or even serve in the administration of the United States government. This is the most, I tell you, this is not even an argument. It's the best excuse for having an argument. We don't have a military dictatorship. We have civilians, people who've never been in the military, running this country. That's the way our founders wanted it. For a guy like O'Donnell, who on any other day would be talking about the military like they're a bunch of baby killers, I'm sure that he's had that conversation with friends. But when he needs them, when he wants to trot them out to defend his argument, there they are. Hey, MSNBC, seriously, man, I shouldn't even be talking about Lawrence O'Donnell. I should be talking about you guys and me. Put me on your network. Jesus, I could go into that and make it a little funny. Why is this guy on your network? Because he was producing a TV show and he had lunch with a guy who had lunch with a guy? Is that it? And he sat there and he impressed you as to what? He's boring most of the time. And maybe someone said to him, Jesus, Lawrence, you better pick it up, man. They're ready to pack your ass off. We'll put anybody in there, man. We'll get Meredith Vieira in there. And she's, and you know as well as I do how much she sucks. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're going to put her in there. Ha, 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 ha. We'll go get Ann Curry, anything but you. You, brother, you talk about blowing herds of kangaroo. So either you do something that's going to get somebody's attention. I know what I'll do. I'll just rip this guy an ass. Well, yeah, but make it kind of fun, will you? Don't worry about it. And Scarborough's got to turn his mic off and then kick him off the set. Anyway, I thought it was very entertaining to be perfect. All right, so we'll be back here with a Texas governor candidate who questions the U.S.'s role in 9/11. Now, she tried to retract. It's too late. People now think she's a douchebag, a screwball, they think she's real different. And we'll talk about her, and then we have John Mayer. And he gets new supporters and attackers for a slur-filled rant. So he stopped tweeting, as we mentioned to you. Now Glad is pissed off at him because he called Perez Hilton the F-word, I think. 877-876 Phil Jeff Dowder at the top of the hour with Joe Biden's remarks. Or he'll have a view of Joe Biden's remarks, you know. Good.
Phil and... famous Bill Hendry Show.
Coming up, Jeff Dowder on the remarks by Vice President Biden that Iraq will be the greatest achievement of the Obama administration. Just one final note. Lawrence O'Donnell, you know, I owe him an apology because it's really not about him. Lawrence O'Donnell, this MSNBC host who went off on this guy who was a speechwriter for Bush, and he said that the guy is a torture monger, and he said that the Bush administration invited 9/11, and he said that, you know, all of the very predictable things that we've heard time and time again. I really should be talking to MSNBC about them hiring this hack in the first place. Now, O'Donnell was a producer on West Wing. I can well imagine that after West Wing became a hit, he went to the powers that be at NBC and said, I want to be on TV and have, and you know, and all right, oh God. Well, what? We got to give the guy a show. Why? Because he helped us with this show. Yeah, but he's going to butcher the, just stick him over on MSNBC. Let him do some fill-in. How can he hurt us? So they take this lightweight. He's not a broadcaster. And how many times have I told you guys, you can think anything you want about the broadcast business, television, radio, or what have you, but I'll tell you this much. I make my career in it, and I'm a professional, decades in the business, and I know other professionals, and I know how to present a radio show, and I know what I'm doing. But more and more in our business, whether it's TV or radio, amateurs are invited on board. Amateurs are given big, big salaries to sit in front of microphones and cameras and look for all the world like God, you know, I mean, like something out of Mice and Men. And then you get this. You get this disgraceful display by this guy O'Donnell, who should never be allowed on television. He's not a professional. He's screaming with the microphone turned off. He's taking everything personal. He's completely forgotten that the audience even exists. He's got Scarborough trying to rein him in. And why is that? Because he went to the powers that be at NBC, and he said, I produced a big hit with West Wing, so you guys better give me a show. And some lightweight chump change guy over at NBC let him have his show. Now, the same thing is true about Bill O'Reilly. I said this about Bill O'Reilly, and I mean it. Bill O'Reilly's great on television. Fantastic. Radio is a whole different ballgame. Bill O'Reilly on radio was so embarrassing. I mean, you can't even begin to think about how embarrassing it was. And he finally got off the air with the excuse, well, you know, I'm a little busy. Busy? You don't have any listeners. Busy. So this isn't Lawrence O'Donnell's fault. This is the trend in our business. Now, it wouldn't be so bad were it not for the fact they're probably paying this guy a lot of money. This guy O'Donnell, who was knocking this other guy for his breeding. O'Donnell is some Boston punk whose father was a lawyer, and he went to Harvard. So what are you talking about? Anyway.
Well, now MSNBC never going to give you a job or anything.
Yeah, what makes you think they'll give you a job now? You just ripped them a brand new... You ripped them a new ass, and you ripped them a spare ass. I ripped them a spare ass.
You did. They're not going to put you on there.
I'm not entertaining anything. You think I think that they're going to put me on MSNBC? Get out of here. I'm not entertaining any thoughts of the kind. All right, one other thing we want to get to this evening, because this is really kind of entertaining. You know, there's somebody running for governor of Texas, and the name escapes me right now, but she believes that 9/11 might have been an inside job conducted by the United States government. And then people said, oh, my God, you'll never be elected governor of Texas. And she said, oh, you know what? Let me just back off those comments. Are we to believe now, ladies and gentlemen? Well, yes, we are. We've been expected to believe this for quite some time, ever since Richardson, Bill Richardson, said, of course I believe that homosexuality is an orientation. I didn't mean to say that it was a choice. I didn't really know anything about it. And when Melissa Etheridge asked me that question, I just... And that was the end of Bill Richardson. That was the end of Bill Richardson. This Texas governor candidate, a woman by the name of Medina, her name is, she's a gubernatorial Republican candidate, Republican gubernatorial candidate, Deborah Medina. And here is our good friend, a good close personal friend, Glenn Beck. And he's asking Deborah Medina whether or not she believes the government had any involvement in the terrorist attacks on 9/11.
I don't have all of the evidence there, Glenn. So I'm not in a place. I have not been out publicly questioning that. I think some very good questions have been raised in that regard. There's some very good arguments, and I think the American people have not seen all of the evidence there. So I've not taken a position on that.
All right, now, that's a woman who just simply hasn't looked into it. She hasn't even probably read any information pro or con about it. In fact, the last thing she thought about when it came to 9/11 was, geez, I guess this is going to spoil, you know, going to see the producers, because I had tickets for 9/12. That was a woman who was bullcrapping the term paper. That was a woman who was treading water. That was a woman who was dog paddling her way to the shore. That was a woman who finally, when she got out of the water, shook off the water, and someone tried to put a leash on her, and she said, excuse me, I'm sorry. That's a woman who will not be the governor of Texas. And her name, Deborah Medina, and she's a Republican, and with one stupid series of remarks, it's over. All right? But it's not quite going away, because now Governor Rick Perry and Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson dismissed the comments made by Deborah Medina on the Glenn Beck Show, that there were some very good arguments, and you heard the whole thing. And she said she didn't have all the evidence. Now, after the crap storm hit, and they said, you know, we have a problem. Well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is you made some, go ahead, you don't sugarcoat it. Well, you're an idiot. I'm an idiot. Well, you said the thing, oh, for geez. So what are we going to do? How are we going to got to do some damage control? Well, the only damage, you got to have to just say that you didn't mean it. All right, go ahead. So she comes out in a written statement because they figured, no, don't even put her on the radio show. We can get her back on back. I don't want to hear her, man. No. Just have her write it down and I'll read it. She wrote down, she says, there's no doubt in my mind that Muslim terrorists flew planes into those buildings on 9/11. I have not seen any evidence, nor have I ever believed that our government was involved or directed those individuals in any way. I've not seen any. You haven't seen any evidence of anything. You barely got evidence that you're qualified to be a governor. Who are you kidding? But I love this stuff, seriously. Just like this cracker we got up here in Santa Clarita with his whole racist comedy. He doesn't know what racist is. He doesn't understand the significance of that term. He doesn't understand that, you know, if you proudly admit that you're a racist, 90% of the people start to think of you with one of those pointed hats, right? You aren't going to get elected dog catcher. You're not going to get elected. He's one of these jackasses that probably get about a 2-year term on a city council someplace. And then as his big mouth continues to just, expel its poison, people get a better idea what he's about. And no thanks. We got him all over the place. And all it takes is one statement like that to give people all they need to know about how bright you really are. Thank you.
Now, isn't that lovely?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we've got Jeff Dowder, who'll be talking with us about Vice President Biden's claim that the Iraq, whether it's the war or just Iraq or the movie Iraq or whatever, is going to be President Obama's one of his greatest achievements. It's gotten quite a bit of play. There's a lot of people who are still choking on that one. We'll talk with Jeff Dowder from Out of Iraq, U.S. Out of Iraq, coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Our phone number, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You fool!